When I was a little boy, born on a farm where we had a lot of chickens, and when the eggs hatched out, those little old biddies, that's what we called them, the little old yellow balls of fur. Now, when they become a teenage biddy, they didn't look very pretty. But when they were babies, they did. Now, I learned as a little boy, when they got scared or when mother clucked just right in certain codes she had, they would all run, get under her wings. Did anybody ever see that? You see that? Yeah. I learned as a little boy, don't mess with them when they went to mama and got under her wings. Mama would take it out on you quick. And that's the way God is, I believe. Old devil's trying to slip in under his wing and get us, but he can't. He can't do it. Heard a preacher say one time that our sins were under the blood. We were secure forever in Christ. And the only way the devil could get us was to come in and get under the blood himself, and he couldn't do that or he'd be a saved devil. That's not good theology, but I heard a preacher say that one time. Daniel chapter 9 tonight. We're going to look in Daniel a little bit. And I'm asking you to cut me some more slack because I'm going to do a little roaming tonight. Still on the same subject pretty much of the times we're in right now. And of course, I've been having questions asked me and been sharing some from the Bible. And I'm sure many of you folks have been sharing with others from the Bible because folks have a right to be a little bit concerned. And they should be. Should be. We don't know if this is something passing or if it's going to get worse or if this is the first phase, is there another wave coming, all that kind of talk you hear. And I think it's overhyped personally. I've said that. I'm not ashamed to say that. Somebody said a statement like this. They've said, error. Error can go around town before truth can get backed out of the garage. You ever hear that one? And I think we're seeing a lot of that. I really do. I think we ought to be cautious and wise. But I think when the truth finally outs, when the dust is settled, we're going to find out there was a lot of stuff that was done that didn't have to be done. Is it all right if I just kind of meddle? I'm going to taxi a little bit, and then we may take off here in a minute. But right now, I'm just kind of taxiing around. We may get airborne in a minute. Oh, no. Maybe not. We may crash. I don't know. But anyway. A few little things leak out through the cracks that catch my attention every now and then. One of them this week was, all the scare, everybody dead in China, and I'm not denying that. I don't know. Wasn't there. Then Italy, moved to Italy, and Italy was just all these great, great numbers that died with this coronavirus. But it leaked out a little bit this week. Out of all the deaths in Italy, only 12% was actually coronavirus. What kind of misleading is that? Means all those other folks had other causes and people was dying before coronavirus was ever heard of. If you heard on the news today or read in the paper, I forget which one, the place kicker, NFL football place kicker, that was the first one to, kick 60 yards or something? Anyway, I forget his name right now, but he died. And the report said he died of complications from coronavirus. Folks, that's not true. The man was already sick and hurting long time before this was invented. Can I tell you, I said cut me some slack tonight, okay? Can I tell you the joke about the fellow that jumped off the bridge committing suicide? And the authorities come by and tagged his toe, another death, coronavirus. Now that's a joke, I hope, but it's getting almost that bad in some cases. Got to watch out for it. Daniel chapter 9, I'm going to ask you to start with me in verse 24. This is familiar stuff. I'm going to repeat it. This subject all through the Bible. I mean, one sermon, one night could not begin to cover all that of this, of course. But Daniel, you got Prophet Daniel? Okay. Some of you looking like you never heard of him before. All right. Here it is, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, that would be Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. All of this is prophecy out of Daniel now. Know therefore, and here we start counting in the next verse here, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. He died for us, remember, not for himself. Our sins, not his. And the people of the prince, this prince you want to follow up on later maybe, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. Now, if you know your Roman history, that was Titus in AD 70 that destroyed Jerusalem, right? Prince, people of the prince. So, of course, Titus is dead, but the people, the same crowd, generations later, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he, draw your line back from the word he, back to the word prince. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspread of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, all of that, we couldn't expound all of it, but I want you to understand. The Roman prince Titus was a picture or a prototype of the final prince, the Antichrist, that is going to come in and finish off this thing. Now, here's the, today we're talking about Palm Sunday, and I haven't preached on that. But do you realize when Jesus rode in on the donkey on Palm Sunday through the Eastern Gate, and when the kids cried Hosanna in the highest and threw the branches down in front of the animal, and you remember that that was dated out of the book of Daniel to the exact day he would do that. This portion here and a couple of other portions. And it all comes back to what I read in verse 24, the 70 weeks that are determined upon thy people. Now he's talking to Daniel. Daniel was a Jew. Who was thy people? The thy people of Daniel would be Jews. So he's talking to the Jews. That word again is mentioned to thy people again. So the message here is dealing with the future of Israel, the prediction of it. The Messiah came. He was dated when he would come. He was cut off, not for himself. He was rejected. And this scripture here says there were 70 weeks. Now that's 70 weeks of years. If you have a week of donuts, you got 7. If you have a week of eggs, you got 7. If you have a week of years, you got 7. And so you need to get a hold of that. The weeks of years, 490 years were total, 483 years to the time Jesus rode in the Eastern Gate on the donkey on Palm Sunday. And the Messiah was cut off, but he was cut off before the 490 years was finished. He was cut off at 483 years. To finish the 490, you still got 7 to go. 7 yet future have not happened. We've been living in a gap. We sometimes refer to it as the church age or the grace age, But from that time to this time, we believe, according to our calendars, over 2,000 years now, around that anyway. Somebody messed with the calendar. We don't know exactly with the calendar we're going by. But there's still a week of years to go. There's 7 years yet to go. God stopped the clock. He's going to start it again. And that 7 years we call the tribulation period. That brings me to this. So many people asking me questions. Is the trib about to start? So that's somewhat my subject tonight. Is the trib about to start? Now, what is the tribulation? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, it'd be a time of great tribulation. I think he was probably referring to the latter 3.5 years of the seven, but he said there'd be great tribulation like there was never before. He's again talking to the Jews in Matthew 24. Now, think about what he said. He said it'd be so great, so horrible, it'd be never been anything like it. You know what? He was saying that Hitler's ovens and the 6 million that they burned was not as bad as what was coming in the tribulation period. The pogroms in Russia, you check out what happened to the Jewish people in Russia. And the protocols of the elders of Zion and all that fakery that went on, and millions were killed because of it. Yet Jesus said, as bad as that was, there's something future called the tribulation period that's going to be worse. Folks, it's a time we don't want to be here. It's a time we're not going to be here, because it is the Jews' time when God, in Romans chapter 11, gets their eyes open again to who the Messiah was. But there's a lot of details of events. I can't take time for it tonight. It's referred to in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, as the day of Jacob's trouble, a 7-year period, and it's to Daniel's people. Now, we're moving into a time, and we see in the Bible that, and you know some big truths, don't you? You know that there is a prediction of a global government in the end. A global religion. You understand that? Read Revelation chapter 13. You got a couple of beasts that's leading it. One's a false prophet. One's going to be the government leader, the Antichrist. I was reading something this week. It was amazing. It's amazing they got it in writing, got proof. I mean, the global plan right now is moving so fast. And you know who's withholding? You know who is hurting them that they can't get the global government in place? You and I, Bible believers, the church, the believers. And I was reading and I saw it and I got it in my office. In fact, I almost put it in my Bible and didn't, to bring out here, because I figured if I got on that, you wouldn't get breakfast in the morning. So I decided I wouldn't do it. But they got a major plan. And right here during this virus talk that you're hearing on TV, you heard one of the talking heads the other day, this woman said, what we need to fight this thing is a global government. And that went right over the wire, right over the screen to everybody. And you'd be surprised how many folks think that might be the answer. A global government. Yeah, it's coming. But it's going to be the Antichrist that heads it up. Now, question though has been asked to me, are we nearing the trib? And oh yeah, we're nearing, anybody's ever been to it before, that's for sure. Is it next week, next month, next year, 10 years? I don't know, but I think we got a right to think it's soon. But if it is, the rapture's that much sooner. But anyway, we could think it's near. One reason, you can see all kind of reasons. One reason I think it's near is the anti-God attitude that has become so open. They're not hiding anymore. It's really open. You might not remember this, and you may get mad the word I'm fixing to use, but at the Democratic Convention in 16, when Hillary was running and was supposed to win and all that, at the Democratic Convention, if you watched it on TV, at one time, they introduced some stuff and they had a voice vote. And the voice vote, now you don't understand, a voice vote goes like this. If I'm standing up here and I say, all right, all you for this, holler out, and all you for this, holler out, I'd pick whoever I want to be the winner. And that's what they did at that convention. And the truth was, we listening at home realized that the MC couldn't believe what he was hearing. It was a God or anti-God question, and they voted it anti-God by a majority. We could hear it, and yet they said, "Oh no, you know it went this." No, it didn't. We heard what we heard, and that's an attitude that is very, very real. There's a far left liberal media out there that is so much against God you could not believe it in any of his values. Now, the main news media here recently, since the virus thing, has mocked prayer. See, the president called a time or two for prayer, but he got mocked over asking for prayer. One woman on the news said, "What's he gonna do, pray about it?" Is that how, she was mocking the thing, big time. And nobody rebuked her for it. Nobody said anything about it. They just went ahead and let it go. We're seeing that all the time, everywhere we look. Now, for instance, in the public school, no, we can't pray, but you can pray to Allah. Here, there's some parents threatening a lawsuit on a school, and I've got the stats in the office that just recently put a video out in the school showing the pillars of Islam, and basically it's their video to try to convert you to Islam. And in that video, it makes a statement that Allah is the creator of everything. In that video, it says that he is all powerful and that he's the only God. What are we doing in a taxpayer school paid by Americans, letting that be openly taught where we can't even have the Lord's Prayer? That is amazing, folks. Amazing. I was listening to a Muslim that's been saved and raised in a Muslim family, raised over in Iran. And he was being asked about how he got saved and what it was all about and all that. And he said that another friend, another Muslim got saved and then shared with him the Lord Jesus, and he got saved. And his dad finally caught him praying and said, "Who are you praying to?" And he said, "Well, I'm praying to Jesus." So his dad kicked him out, beat him up and kicked him out. But he asked the dad the question. He said, "I speak three languages, but you tell me I can only pray to Allah in Arabic, that he can't understand any other languages, yet he's the creator." Boy, he had his dad there, didn't he? I mean, I'm smarter than Allah. I can speak three languages. He can only speak one. What a joke. What a joke it is that it's made the headway that it has in America, and putting it in our public schools like that. And it's not all the schools, of course. But if it wasn't for some God-fearing Christians under the radar, flying under the radar, that's stopping some of that stuff, and it may be a lot more prevalent than you think right now. I had a woman sit in this church a few years back, and she came with her family and sat here and later on bragged to the family that she got converted to Islam. Now, I'm not talking about one born over there. I'm talking about American. That's the brainwashing that's going on to a great degree. Now that's terrible. You know, no God but Allah. He was a moon god. You study it. It's in proof. Muhammad himself could not read or write. Did you know that? Muhammad himself was a pedophile. His youngest bride, he took her at 13 years old. No, I'm sorry. He took her at 6 years old. She became his wife at 13. Ridiculous stuff. Ridiculous stuff. And yet, that's making headway in America. All right, I'll move off of that and say this. Yeah, we could be near the tribulation period because all these things I just mentioned and what's happening in our nation, what's happening in the nations, I'll put it that way. Psalms 2. If you read it over there, it's a short psalm. It would say something like this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth, you know, they say, get God's strings off of us. We don't in any kind of way have our style cramped by the Lord. See, all this stuff that I'm preaching about and telling you about and reminding you of that you're seeing all the time, did not take God by surprise. Not at all. He not only saw it coming, he wrote that it was coming. Amen. So what's happening in the nation today? For instance, in this virus thing, well, we'll say, well, it started in China. Probably it did. I don't know. But we need to understand something. China is still persecuting Christians on a wholesale manner. Why we've let that nation get us by the throat like we have is ridiculous. For instance, the medications we're needing right now, they're in control of most of them. I even read a stat sometime back where much of our ammunition, no matter if we got the biggest gun, if they got the ammunition. Understand what I'm saying? They've got us by the throat in more ways than you would think. And they're still persecuting the Christians big time in China. Now, the virus thing, for instance, they say, well, we had 3,000 and something, almost 4,000 killed in China. And most of the experts are saying they're lying about that. And probably they are. They say the crematoriums over there have been going full blast. They've been burning corpses, bodies. That's the scuttlebutt, the gossip about it. One of the proofs they have is the Chinese are even worse than Americans, and that's hard to imagine, when it comes to cell phones. They're addicted, but the government wants them to have them. They give them out to them. They want to have, because that's the way they keep track of the people. And what they're saying now is this virus, not 3,000 cell phones are no longer on the air, so to speak, but many thousands, 100,000, and they are thinking that those people that had them died is why they've gone off, and they can track that. They've gone off. Did you hear at one of the press conferences the other day where one of our, normally, we'd think maybe on the right side person made a terrible statement. If you get a rerun of Laura Engel, she comes on about 10 o'clock at night. She had it on there. She tried to raise a red flag about it. Nobody kind of picked up on it. But here's what that person said. That person said, following this virus, see, I mean, you know, you got this group quarantined and that one quarantined and this one's supposed to be home and that one's supposed to be home. How do you know they... at home. Security guard told me out front this morning after church that somebody came by and saw us and hollered, "You're not supposed to be open." I said, "They're probably on their way back from Walmart." You know what I'm saying? Anyway, that kind of stuff, you're going to run into that some this week, probably no doubt about it. But this person said, "We're going to quarantine, we're going to keep them home, we're going to do all these things." How we know they did it? And then the other one come up and said, "We now need to get this thing instituted through the cell phones where we can track everybody and know where they're at any time." Now, I'm going to be a little facetious with you. If they do that, I'll throw my cell phone away. But some of you can't. You're addicted. Or get mad all you want to. It's hard to have a conversation with a person anymore without the cell phone going off and you stand there and wait till they get through taking the call. I had somebody come in my office a long time ago, and it's worse now. And that thing rang a time or two, and I said, "You want an appointment with me?" "Well, yes." I said, "Turn that thing off then. I don't have time to sit here and listen to your private phone calls after you've taken my time to come in." You say, "You're plain." I am plain sometimes. It ought to be that way. The truth is, they can track you over it. I've said that for a long time, and now they're talking about instituting it legally so we know where John Jones stayed home or whether he went to Walmart or whether he went to church or whatever if we want to check on him. Well, amen, folks. That's what they're talking about. I'm telling you that what's happening in the nations is pretty interesting and shattering what is going to happen in the tribulation period. The Iran threat, did you hear the president recently say even Iran, he was fearing trying to take advantage of our being crippled down with this virus, that they were planning an attack? Did you hear that in the last few days? Somehow that got through all the virus talk. And then he also warned the dopers that we're going to come in and take advantage of it and come through. You know, he warned them, no, we're not asleep. And I saw one of the generals on there talking, no, we're still on guard. We're still watching. It would be a temptation for an enemy nation to say they're crippled down sick. Now let's hit them. That's what was the bottom line on that thing. The Iran threat. But did you hear before that, before the virus ever came, where Mr. Putin in Russia leaked out about a secret weapon? He leaked it on purpose. He leaked it to bluff us, even though he may have it. And his statement was basically this: you may hit us with the first strike, but we've got these things aimed at you that you can't hit, and we will wipe you out. That was a leak on purpose. A lot of leaks come out on purpose. Amen. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying what's happening in the nations tell us the tribulation period is not far off. Tribulation follows God's people being called out. Paul called it our gathering unto him. Called out. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, Scripture says. I see the tribulation period shadow because of what's happening in the nations. How about in Ezekiel chapter 36 through 38? You've heard me preach on it. Where all the coalition of nations, seemingly headed up by Russia and Iran, strike at Israel. And the $64 question is, do they strike at America first, or what happens? Where are we in the mix? And it don't seem to be real plain. But that could be building even right now. I'm saying to you that the nuclear possibility, the nuclear scientists recently moved the atomic clock hands to 2 minutes to midnight. That's their prediction, not a Bible preacher. That's the scientist's prediction that there is coming a nuclear war. I know I'm repeating some stuff, but I wanted to hear it again. Amen. The Bible codes, if you have any confidence in them, and I do have, if they're done right, also speaks of Korea. And the little rocket man over there is hurting for attention right now with all this virus thing. So he fired off a few rockets this last week. Did you see that? Don't forget about me. I'm still your main threat. No, we can laugh at him a little bit, but he could be the trigger to something a lot bigger. With Iran and Russia and all that crowd that's named in Ezekiel 36 through 38. All right. Yes, the answer is we could be getting close to the tribulation period, which means we're much closer to being caught up to be with the Lord. I see all kind of signs. I see them in the nations. I see them in nature. Earthquakes are really overshadowed today, but they're still happening. The Lakeland Ledger today was referring how safe Florida was because they didn't think we had except for sinkholes. They were pointing out we do have some sinkholes. But they were talking about we don't have a fault line for an earthquake under the state of Florida. I don't know if they've crawled under there and looked or not, but that's what they say. That's what was in the paper today. You know, some of this stuff, you just take it with a grain of salt. But yes, the earthquakes are still coming. Pestilence, that's what we're fighting now with the virus. And the fuss, all of this fuss that's going on. By the way, might shock you a little bit, but I want to show you where we're fixing to have another climate change down the road. Go with me to the book of Revelation. You'd find it last book, right? Go to chapter 16, just a verse or two. Somebody says, you believe in climate change? I sure do, when God changes it. But we're not going to change it. And I don't have any fear, because when he changes it, I'm not going to be here. What I'm fixing to read for you. Revelation chapter 16. And the fourth angel, verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed. What? Wait a minute. They didn't pray? No, they didn't pray. They blasphemed the name of God. Which hath power over these plagues. God does have power over all the plagues and viruses. And they repented not to give him glory. Can you imagine this? The sun's going to get hotter. How hot? Well, this is not the only place in the Bible that mentions it. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26, it says the sun is going to get 7 times hotter. So you live in Florida and it was 98 the other day, 7 times hotter. Glad I'm not going to be here. Amen. No, nature's testifying that some changes are on the way. No doubt about it. I said to you the other night, Revelation 14, that there was an asteroid coming to hit Earth. Apparently, according to NASA, according to the Bible in Revelation 14, it's named Wormwood, and it's called a mountain burning with fire, and it strikes the Earth, and NASA thinks they know about where it's going to hit, and they know the date it's going to hit, and they think it's going to hit on 9 years from now, 29. But they got hope, and since I preached that the other night, I've had a couple of people come to me with some information. The information is, yes, they know it's coming, and they're already working on getting the strike against it to stop it, to bump it and change its orbit and make it miss Earth. And they're already fixing to have, very soon now, at least within a year or two, they're planning on a prototype. They're going to do, you know, there's a lot of asteroids up there. They got them numbered and all that kind. So they think they're going to practice. They're going to have a practice shot. Well, I got a hope beyond them hitting. Can I trust them not to miss? Can I trust them not to explode on an atomic weapon on an astronaut instead of one asteroid coming? I said an astronaut on an asteroid. Blowing it in bits, and now you got not one particle coming, you got all of them coming. Anybody know the difference in a shotgun and a rifle? Do you? I'll tell you what, buckshot, you're more likely to hit something with it than you are with a single shot. Amen? All right, I got off on it. But the truth is, I don't have any confidence in this man-made stuff. If God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. But you know, one of the biggest signs, I reckon, of the Lord's coming and the tribulation period about to break is the coldness and apathy and the hard hearts that we see everywhere. You'd think this virus would scare some folks to come to the altar and pray to God, wouldn't you? Instead of closing the churches, you'd think they'd be opening the churches and asking God's blessing, wouldn't you, in such a time as this? Wouldn't we think that? I mean, that would be naturally. But instead, we see God being mocked, his house being mocked, his Bible being mocked. It's a late hour. It really is. Defying God. See, God might be in this little virus thing. He may make good out of evil. He may have a purpose. I don't know. God's not ever at the expense of a big miracle to deal with a sinner. I remember a story I read many years ago, happened out in a country setting years ago. This tragic thing happened in a family, and a baby died, not very old. I believe it was a baby, a young child. And the church, the local church, the country folks, they were doing all they could, praying, helping the family and doing all that. But the daddy of that baby, known for his ungodliness in the neighborhood and in the countryside, went out to the wood pile. Now, some of you are not country enough to know about a wood pile. There used to be a wood pile behind the house, and there was an axe and a chopping block. And when we kids were little, we brought the firewood in to put it in the wood stove. The stove was not made out of wood. It burned wood. And you ought to taste biscuits Mama could fix on it. Wow. But anyway, this ungodly man, after the baby died, the church folks trying to help and be as good as they could, ran out to the wood pile and picked up the axe. And in front of the people, God's people, he shook it at the heavens and he cursed God. Come down here and fight like a man. Take my baby, you come down here and fight like a man. What'd God do? Did he hit him with a lightning bolt? No. Did a stone come out of heaven? No. Did he die of a heart attack? No. God sent a little old bitty spider that he didn't even see come down the axe handle and bite him right there in the wrist. And in a few days, he died. It was like God said, I don't have to have a lightning bolt. I'm commanding this little spider to come take care of you. Now, that story is told for truth by the folks that were in the neighborhood and in the church that was trying to help. I want to say to you, don't think God can't take care of you any way he wants to. His creatures still obey him, all except man, right? Man's a rebel. The rest of them are definitely in obedience to the Lord. I don't know that God is going to make good out of this virus. I pray he will. I do think we ought to pray for the folks that are hurting by it. Pray for our country that's gone busted over it. I hope we can recover, but it's going to be a long time recovering from the pit we've dug. No doubt about that. But it's interesting times. How close is the trib? Pretty close. If it is, then how close is the rapture? Even closer. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's stand, please. Father, we thank you for the people coming tonight. We thank you for those listening on the air, out there on radio and out there where we're streaming, where maybe they can even see us. We thank you for that technology that we can use for you. We know the devil's been using it for a long time, but Father, we pray you can make good out of it. We pray for souls that might be listening that are not saved. We recognize, Father, that it is amazing how all the propaganda is being believed today and drawing people away from God instead of pointing them to you. We ask your blessing now on our church here. We've got all the obligations to keep meeting during these trying times. We pray for our folks. We pray for the kids we were not able to pick up on buses today. We pray that you'd bless in their homes, meet their needs. Thank you again, Father, for the Lord Jesus that has all the answers. And Father, we can go home and go to bed and have peace in our hearts as we go to sleep tonight, because he's still in charge. We're still, as the song said a while ago, under his wings. Thank you for that. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love, trust him in his presence daily. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Let's bow our heads. The invitation will go for just another little bit, but I've said it to you several times, I'll say it again. While folks are concerned and maybe cause them to think a little bit, you know the answer, you know the good news, you tell them about the Lord Jesus. You might be surprised how many folks would like to hear that. God gives us a promise. It's found in Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Does that include you? If you're one of his children, you can claim that. A lot of peace from knowing that. Let's use this week best we can under the situation that we're under. I want to say to staff, if you're still getting a paycheck, there's plenty of work around here to do. Don't think you're taking a vacation. A lot of work to do. Needs to be done. Let's do it. You say, but I'm supposed to isolate. Be isolated. Well, get in your classroom and close the door. If that won't work, I'd take you out to camp. We can isolate you out there and find something for you to do. Amen. Just wanted to give you something to think about tonight, all right?